We'd like to move straight on to some very innovative solutions we've found to fight the criminal poaching of wildlife. Earlier this year, a global competition was held to stimulate technological solutions in this area. It was an initiative of National Geographic, the Smithsonian, the United States Agency for International Development and Traffic, and Traffic, the NGO that monitors wildlife trafficking. And among the winning ideas was an Australian project that aims to develop a portable electric nose. Now, this device would allow customs officers and wildlife investigators, for instance, to identify animal samples in the field rather than in the lab, and that's important for the prosecution and quick action that John was just speaking about then. I'll let one of the scientists involved explain more. Dr. Rebecca Johnson is director of the Australian Museum, and she's with us now. Hello and congratulations.
Hi, Geraldine. Thank you very
much. And you're off to the meeting next week, aren't you?
I am off to the meeting next week. It's very exciting.
Yes, it is. Now, could you explain more about what this project's doing?
Absolutely. So like all great science, it's collaborative. We're collaborating, both us at the Australian Museum with our colleagues at UTS, led by Shari Forbes, who's a forensic chemist. So we're forensic geneticists at the museum. And what we've done is basically working on the concept that, you know, when you pass through an airport, you're probably going to have a detector dog looking, sniffing your luggage, sniffing for fruit or other kind of contraband. That's on the basis that dogs can pick up these volatile organic compounds, or that they're picking up something that tells them to alert that it's an organic product. And so what we've done with our collaborators at UTS is extend that to, can we turn what the dog can detect? And we're not entirely sure what it is that dogs are detecting, but we're working on it, and we're using a lot of equipment. I'll talk about that in a minute. We're basically turning what the dogs can detect into something that can electronically detect wildlife and tell us what that wildlife is.
And so if I understand it correctly, at the moment, all of this can only be done long after the animals have died and sort of gone, and it's making prosecution very difficult. So you're aiming to be far more, just like the dogs, it's much more real-time, assisting people trying to stop trade or whatever is illegal right now?
Very much so. The quicker you can understand what it is that's being traded and apprehend that and invoke the kind of penalties that we heard John Scanlon talking about, the better. And the hopefully the better outcomes there are for protecting the wildlife before it's euthanized or before it's actually goes into the illegal trade.
So what would this electronic nose look like?
That we're not really sure yet. So at the moment what we've done is, so because we're at the Australian Museum, we have an incredible wildlife collection.
Yes, you do.
What we did was we took a range of rhino horns that we had in our collection, and we knew they were from black rhinos and white rhinos, and we actually did that, we established that using DNA, which is a very accurate and valuable way of doing things. But as you mentioned, it does take a bit longer than something like an electronic nose. So what we did was we ran these horns of known species, the two of the rhinos that are traded most heavily, and we ran them through this machine to basically look at the volatile organic compounds to see if we could tell them apart, because we really didn't know. So these two particular species of rhinos are quite distantly related, even though they look quite similar to the casual observer. And we were able to, separate them out based on their organic compounds. And the idea now, so first we had to establish that was if that was even possible. The idea would be now to translate that into something. So that was using very sophisticated equipment in the laboratory at UTS. The idea would be now to translate that into something that's real-time, usable in the field, that enforcement officers can use in their daily jobs.
So you and your collaborators won $15,000 for this pilot. Is this enough money combined with all the individual research money you get to sort of, you know, develop something?
Probably that's more to help us ground truth it at the pilot level.
Pass, you say. Okay, righto. I just had to ask you that. And look, we've talked about body parts becoming this sort of future asset class. It's so dreadful, really. What about the trade and sale of live animals for exotic pets? I mean, would this potential technology be any use in that area?
Yes, so the trade and sale of animals for exotic pets is an emerging thing, and there will certainly be a lot of discussion about that at the conference in coming weeks. This kind of thing, the chemical or the chemistry side of things is probably not so applicable. That's where you would typically use DNA, and what you would be doing is a pedigree, like you might think about if you were trying to find out what your parentage was, or in a police case, for example, where they have an unknown sample, they're trying to figure out what it is by matching it to references. We would typically use DNA to validate whether or not the species that are being traded as captive bred are indeed from the parents that are allegedly the yes. producing those offspring.
So it really is, I must say, I'm going to direct listeners, if they go to the Traffic website, you'll just see this extraordinary range of possibilities that were entered in this competition of technology. I mean, nobody thinks, I don't think, about technology being used like this. They think about technology as sort of changing the way we work. But this is really clever. The range is quite breathtaking, actually.
It is really clever. And as scientists, there's nothing more fulfilling than all of the work that we do in our daily lives being able to apply to something that is such a real and significant problem.
So it is alert. You're alert to it, are you?
We're very alert to it, yes. There is quite a core group of scientists who work on this type of thing quite frequently. And so we're even accredited at the Australian Museum to do forensic work for wildlife cases.
Right. Well, look, congratulations. I do hope the nose gets up one way and the other. And that we start to claim it as one of our own. Thank you very much indeed.
My great pleasure.
Dr. Rebecca Johnson from the Australian Museum Research Institute on this initiative of one of the winners of this initiative of National Geographic, the Smithsonian, the United States Agency for International Development and Traffic, trying to really bring technology into monitoring wildlife trafficking. Marvellous story, really.